President Biden wants Congress to ban assault weapons.
For God's sake, how much more carnage are we willing to accept? How many more innocent American lives must be taken before we say enough, enough?
The president's appeal was made within minutes of two women being shot dead outside of a church in Ames, Iowa. It also came nearly 3 weeks since the mass shooting at a supermarket in Buffalo, New York, and 10 days after the school shooting in Uvalde, Texas. Kim Krawczyk knows how the teachers who escaped that elementary school in Uvalde might feel. She was teaching math in Parkland, Florida, when a former student opened fire in 2018. And she's still in touch with students who were high school freshmen at the time.
So actually, a few of us just had breakfast on Saturday. And one of the young ladies says to me, "Miss Kay, this one really hit me hard, and I don't know why. I can't even watch the news." I get it. We know exactly what it feels like to have that fear, to have that panic, to hold out hope, to lose our friends and colleagues. And you just want to believe as a survivor that no one will ever have to go through this again. It's devastating to think about those teachers wanting to save their children and not being able to, what those women were going through at the time. The entire thing from beginning to end is it's too much. And I might be hypersensitive because I can conjure up that picture. I have experience enough to put together some of the pieces of what was happening in that room, though my room was never shot into. I want to make that very specific. We were in the building, but we were spared. Thank God.
For your students, what happened in the months that followed that shooting?
Boy, we were a mess. Trying to get therapy and trying to get help and trying to get someone to understand us. For the most part, no one was going to help us except for ourselves. Like, we had to stick together and be there for each other. We always had somebody to talk to because we do, unfortunately. I have a tight group that knows exactly what it felt like to watch yet another mass shooting.
When you say that everyone was a mess, what are the signs of that? What are some of the things that people would be able to notice about that?
I would start teaching, and because I was teaching right before everything happened, my voice would be a trigger sometimes to the kids, and they would literally start crying. I would teach one thing. The very next day, they wouldn't remember. They'd be like, I don't think we ever learned this. I said, honey, you have the worksheet in your folder. And, you know, I would have some of the young men would get aggressive. I had kids that were using. I'm not schooled in all therapies, right? You know, not being trained, especially in trauma, I always did the best I could. I stayed in contact with the families where I could, but I was trying to get myself out of that shock. Real trauma training for something like this, unfortunately, I think they're getting better at it. But at our time, it wasn't really something that people were having conversations about.
So while the students are going through this, you're going through this, you're trying to teach a subject, math. Was there an expectation for you as a teacher to try and pay attention to warning signs in addition to everything that you were going through and had to do for your job?
100%.
Wow.
Yeah.
What advice do you have to the community of Uvalde to try and get through the months ahead?
Right. After the funerals are done, like it or not, as much as people kind of want to rush away, those teachers that were in the building need to be debriefed. Because until they process it properly with professionals, they're going to have to get past so many things. Survivor guilt. I don't know that the little kids will have it. The teenagers had it. I have it. The families are going to need counseling. Those kids are going to need a safe, normal space to reconnect so that the first time that they see each other again is not in a classroom setting, because that could be very triggering.
Kim, you've written that we've become desensitized to this kind of gun violence. I mean, how do you fix that? Because there's always politics involved, or at least that's what always comes up after a mass shooting, especially at a school. So how do you stay connected to this issue without just kind of thinking, okay, it's another mass shooting in America?
Right now, as far as I'm concerned, everybody's wrong. Until everybody can sit down and have a reasonable discussion, we're all wrong. We're all doing it wrong. But you want to talk about mental health? It doesn't start with the day that kid shot his grandmother. It doesn't start with the day that kid went and bought those guns. 100%, this kid has been struggling since probably the second grade. But we don't have the finances or the resources to get these kids the help they need when it starts when they're little. We can't have children, an 18-year-old is a child, be able to go out and purchase something that is this destructive or can cause this much damage. If they, people don't think that there's a difference between a handgun and an AR-15, those are the conversations we need to have. This all or nothing, nobody's going to take your gun, pal. But it is reasonable to make sure that the person is 21, they don't have any issues with their mental health, or you can have that 3-day waiting period. All of those things can happen, but nothing's going to happen if no one comes to the table and starts talking.
Kim Krawczyk taught at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. Kim, thank you very much for sharing with us.
You're so very welcome.